1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king, to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you guide my thoughts, guide my words. Help me to honor you, Lord. Help me to present this in the way that needs to be presented, Lord. And Lord, thank you for using this in my life. Lord, help me to do better at what we're going to talk about tonight. Lord, I pray that you just bless the Bible Club. Help preacher Mrs. Ross, help Brother Nichols, Lord, and many others, Lord, that just have special needs. I pray that you just be with them and help them. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Look at verse number 9. We're going to continue reading. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the people of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. I want you to listen to this. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all these words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go you every man into his city." Tonight I want to talk about the power of a choice. The power of a choice. Up to this point in the nation of Israel, Israel has been ruled by judges. They have been men that have God has orchestrated, God has put into power, but that one man was answerable to God, and that one man went to God on behalf of the people, and Samuel was the last judge. And the people of Israel come to Samuel and say, "Samuel, we want a king." Now, if you'll go back into Deuteronomy, God knew that they were going to ask for a king, and God gave them very specific instructions regarding the choice of a king. And he said, they're going to ask for a king, and this needs to be how you choose a king. And God also gave some warnings back in Deuteronomy about that. But the power of a choice, what we did right before we read the scripture, illustrates very well the choices that we make. You know, you can walk through Dollar General, and many times it's you're going for a very specific thing, you're going for a specific purpose, but in so doing, you've also made many other choices without really knowing that you've made those choices. You know, you go down the aisle, and you pick a certain item, and you're looking at the aisle, I was telling the young people, I said, you know, if I'm looking for Oreos, okay, now they've got Oreos, and they've got Clover Valley chocolate sandwich cookies, okay? Yeah. And I have to make a choice. If you look at them, they look somewhat similar. But when you taste them, they are not similar whatsoever. And one is definitely a better choice than the other. But you still have to make a choice, right? You still have to make a choice. And it's interesting because it's not, you, when you make one choice, you also make another choice. When you choose to accept something, you also choose to reject something. 1 Samuel chapter number 8, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." You see, Israel here was making a choice, and what they thought was going to be a good choice, but in so doing, they also made another choice, and that choice was to reject the leadership, the theocracy. If you've got a Scofield Bible here, it says the theocracy rejected. And so the children of Israel here have made a choice of, yes, we want to accept a king. We want a king to rule over us, to go out before us into battle, and, you know, to come in and out before us. And we want to make a choice here about what we want to accept. But in so doing, they also rejected something else. When I did the poll, okay, the thing that you accepted, the thing that you chose, by circumstance or by inevitability, you rejected the other thing. Correct? You couldn't do both. You had to choose one or the other. The power of a choice. Men, just as a reminder, this is Valentine's Day. All right? Walmart is still open. All right? After church, if you need to go and get something for your wife, all right? But when I chose to marry my wife, part of our vows, remember the vows that we took, said forsaking all others. By making a choice to marry my wife, I also made the choice to reject all others. That's what your marriage vows are. This is the choice that I have made, and I am rejecting all others. All right? I made the choice to love her. And that is, I think, probably when it really sums it up, your choice defines what you love. Think about that. The choices you make define what you love. Otherwise, it doesn't matter to you. But if something really matters, you make your choices based on that. We had a candlelight dinner tonight. I know. It was epic. Candlelight dinner. The teenagers helped pull it off. It was a candlelight dinner. We had a nice doily on the Subway table. Flower petals sprinkled all over it. A candle in the middle, and 9 chaperones. Very romantic. But you know what? I made a choice. I made a choice. And because of that choice that I made, I reject everything else when it comes to that. Does that make sense? Okay. What does the power of a choice? I've told this story before. Maybe this is just a weird way that my mind thinks. I drive a lot of different roads. I don't go home the same way all the time. Now, some people live in a place that there's only one way home, right? Where I live, I can go a lot of different directions and I can still arrive at home. I come to an intersection many times and, you know, you can go right or you can go left. And I can still arrive at my house by going right or by going left. But when I make that choice of which way to turn, either right or left, by the characteristic of making that choice, I've accepted what is on that road. Right?
Yes.
I don't know what's... There may be a tree across the road. But by turning left, I have accepted the fact that whatever is on this road, I'm traveling it. I remember doing that, and I've told this story when my daughter Emily broke her arm. I pull out of the Morris's driveway. I had all the kids on the gator with me. Pull out of the Morris's driveway. I had like two in the front and two in the back, and the dog was in the back. And my Emily had the leash around her arm, and I come to the end of the driveway, and I turn right. And the thought, and this goes through my mind. You say, "Brother Chad, you're weird." It goes through my mind. The thought, "And thus is our fate decided." You say, "Brother Chad, that's weird." No, it's kind of true. Because if I would have turned left or I would have turned right, whatever was on that road was decided by that moment.
Sure.
So we go around the block, and a neighbor's dog runs out and starts barking at us. And so my dog, being not super intelligent, decided to jump out of the gator as we're going down the road, which still had the leash with my daughter's arm in it, and it broke her arm as I ran over the dog. And if I would have turned left instead of right, never would have happened. Now, I could have got hit by a car going the other direction. I don't know. That wasn't you know what? That wasn't the road I chose. The road I chose had certain consequences. If I knew the consequences, do you think I would have chose that road? No. And listen, folks, the choices that we make in life, whether you realize it or not, do have consequences. Whether good or bad, they all have consequences. Young people, the choices that you make have consequences. Good or bad, they have consequences. I want to give you just a few things here tonight, maybe give you some food for thought. Food for thought. The power of a choice. The first thing I want to say is whatever you choose to be king is who you will serve. Whatever you choose to be king is who you will serve. Who's the king of your life? Because that's a choice. We see here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 7, they've not rejected, God tells Samuel, they've not rejected thee, but they have rejected me in order to choose a king. And so they say, we want to serve not God as in a theocracy, but we want to serve a king, a monarch, okay? So that was their choice. And God gave them, listen, God gave them that choice. God did not create us to be robots. Because if there is, and I've said this before, if there is no choice, there is no love. You have to have a choice in order to love somebody. If God created Adam and Eve where there wasn't a choice for them to make, how would they have ever expressed their love to God if they never had a choice to not express their love to God? I've often thought, why is there sin? I mean, if God can do anything, why didn't God make the whole world without even the opportunity for sin? Well, then how would we ever actually be able to express our love to God if I was never presented with a choice? How would my wife know that I actually love her if, you know, did Adam love Eve? I don't know. I think he did. But if there wasn't another woman that he could have loved, sorry for you, Adam. I mean, I hope she was beautiful because you're stuck with her, you know? But if there was, you know, 500 choices I could have made, how does my wife know that I love her? Because I chose to love her. How does God, if you're given in a week 168 hours, how does God know that you love him? I don't know. Kind of a good question. How does God know that Chad Gordon loves him? I love you, God. And I think that means a lot. I like it when somebody tells me that they love me. But I like it even more. 1 John, we can go to 1 John. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's a choice. I can either keep God's commandments or disobey God's commandments, and that is a choice. So by making a choice, I tell God that I love him. Right? So if there was no sin, there was no choice. If there was no choice, how can I show God that I love him? Whatever you choose to be king is who you will serve. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 talks about for where your heart is. Remember it talks about that? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a choice. Whatever you choose to be king is who you will serve. Here's the second thing. You can only serve one king. First of all, whatever you choose to be king is who you will serve. Secondly, you can only serve one king at a time. Verses 6 through 9, it talks about them having this king. Look at verse number 8. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Anybody that serves two kings is considered by both kings to be a traitor. Think about it. Anybody that serves two kings is considered by both kings to be a traitor. You can only have one master. All right? You can only have one master. You play king of the mountain, there's not kings of the mountain.
No.
Right? I mean, just the games we play says there's one. All right? You know, they had one winner to the Super Bowl. I have no clue who it was. But there was one winner to the Super Bowl. Okay? There's one. That's the king, okay? We can only serve one. There's only one throne in our heart. Interesting thing is, as I said, God gives us a choice. Young people, and I mentioned this downstairs, for the most of you, you're not given a choice right now. The king is made up for you. But there will come a day and a time in your life when you have to choose to make him the king. You have to choose whether to go to church or not. I mean, just because you've always done it doesn't mean you always will do it. That's a choice that you have to make. You have to choose who's going to be king. You can only serve one king at a time. No choice, no love. Thirdly, all right? So first, whatever you choose to be king is who you will serve. Secondly, you can only serve one king at a time. Thirdly, service to a king requires more of you than what you're willing to give. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this tonight. I think this is kind of what the Bible says here. Okay? Service to a king requires more of you than what you are willing to give. Who was the king in Israel up to this point? God was. Samuel was the judge, but Samuel was a mere representation of God. They had a theocracy up to this point. So Israel had to give, you know, think of all the sacrifices, think of all the things that they had to do. But who was that for? God. Okay? Listen to what Samuel tells them. Verse number 11. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. And then we have a list here, okay? Look at down at verse number 14. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the what? best of them. Right?
Yes.
He's going to take your best. He's not going to take the second rate. He's going to take best. What do you think God wants from us?
God.
The best?
Yep.
All right? But if God wants the best and another king wants the best, who's going to get the best?
There we go.
Right. You know who decides that? You do.
God.
Not me. Everyone, in my life, I do. I decide who's going to get the best years of my life, young person, which is your youth. I'm going to decide who gets the best part of my life. Okay? He wants the best. It doesn't matter which king it is. They want the best. You know what God wants from us? Our best. You know what the world wants from us? Our best. You know the best employees in a workplace are typically the Christians. And they, you know, most kids in Bible college don't have any problem getting a job. You know why? Because the world wants the best employees for their job. Those of you that own a business, don't you want the best employees that you can get? Okay? They want the best. So God wants the best. The world wants the best. Who gets the best? That's up to you. That's up to me. Who gets the best? When a person really commits to God and makes Him king of their life, the Lord will require things of them that is hard for that person to give up. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that, oh, living the Christian life is the easiest thing. No, it's not. Do you know part of your Saturday is going to be periodically, the Lord's going to periodically ask for part of your Saturday? The Lord's going to periodically ask for a portion of your life for you to do something for Him? Pastor has a lot of trips and events and things planned this year. Operation Occupation. Do you realize that can be, you know, well, I only got so much time. Okay, that's true. Who's getting it?
There we go.
Who's getting Chad Gordon's time? That's kind of convicting to Chad Gordon.
Yes. Yeah.
Who gets Chad Gordon's time? Oh, I wish I'd have a little bit of this or a little bit of that or a little bit of somebody's time. Who's getting it?
Sure.
All right. When a person really commits to God and makes Him king of their life, it will require things of them that is hard for that person to give up. Their time. What about this? Their possessions. I think this is very, very interesting what God says here. Look at verse number 15. We already looked at the fields, the vineyards, the olive yards, even the best of them. Verse number 15. And He will take the what?
Tenth.
Huh. Wonder who else asked for a tenth.
Yes.
God asked for, all God asked for is what? A tenth. And here it says, either you're going to give it to God or you're going to give it to somebody. But whose choice is that?
Yeah.
It's yours. I can either give it to God, or God says, or I got this little fellow over here called the devourer. You can give it to him too.
Yes, sir.
Or you can give it to God, or you can give it to the devourer. And it's your choice. I mean, it's every time the... I think of it this way. Every time the offering plate passes, it's a choice.
It is.
Wow. And you know what? I did not have... I've tried to. Pastor Ross, I watch him almost without fail. He gets up and he prays. Has somebody pray for the offering. Usher right here puts the plate up. Almost, it may be a dollar. And he puts something in there.
Yep.
All right, let's go all the way back to the illustration we used at the beginning. Think about this. If when the offering plate passes, it's a choice.
It is.
I don't know how far to go. But if the offering plate passes and it's a choice, and Chad Gordon... I didn't have any cash with me. And I just typically, Brother Young doesn't run credit cards back there, okay? So I didn't throw my wallet in. But if it's a choice and I could have, and I could have, and I didn't, what did that mean? I chose the opposite? There's only two, right? You either can or you can't. Or you can't and you can. Okay? Food for thought. Is it a choice? The wonderful thing about... So our possessions, a tenth. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Verse 15. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Verse number 17. And he will take the tenth of your sheep. All right? It's the monetary things of life is what he's talking about here. They didn't have money like as much as what we have. They had things, sheep and vineyards and land. And God said, your king is going to take a tenth. And I think that's true. Your king is going to take a tenth. Chad Gordon's king is going to take a tenth. My choice is, who do I want to be king? You know, and I have found that God is faithful. The world has never, of all the investment things I have invested in, quote unquote, the world has never repaid me like what God has repaid me. Ever. And I keep pretty close track. The world has never repaid me what God has repaid me. He's a good king, by the way. Malachi chapter 3, will man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes of the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? Make a choice. Make a choice. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Guys, I promise you, if you know, for those of you that were able to come last night, that 3 hours that you gave will not go unnoticed in God's book. Sure. I promise you, you'll get 3 hours back later. In some way or another, you'll get your 3 hours back. Probably get 9 hours back, to be quite honest. Okay? It doesn't, God is debtor to no man. Debtor to no man. He's a good king. He's a good king. But it will cost you. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, it's easy peasy. It's going to cost you. But he'll give it back. He'll give it back. When you make the world the king of your life, they too will demand more of you than what you're willing to give. But the world only takes. There is no return. Fourthly, we'll hurry. I think this is probably the thing that stuck out more about than anything in this passage. The fourth thing, look at verse number 11. The power of a choice. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your what? Look at verse number 13. And he will take your what? That which you make king. Will take your children. That which you make king will take your children. But Brother Chad, they're mine. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his. I don't know. I kind of tend to think that if I just kind of give them to God, that. And it's not just giving, well, I gave them to God. It's not about giving them to God. It's about giving yourself to God. He didn't say here, if your kids give themselves to the king. They said, if you choose to serve the king, your king will take this, this, and this. That which you make king will take your children. Pastor has said before, kids that usually turn out right come from a lost family or a sold out family. Almost never a carnal family. You listen, I know I'm on my way to heaven, 100%. As sure as I'm standing here, I've been saved. I know if I dropped dead right now, I'd go to heaven. But there's more to this than fire insurance, folks. That generation that's out in this other building, the generation that stood up here and sang, okay? If I give myself, think about this. If I go give my, I could go out and make a lot of money in the world. But if I make that my king, then more than likely, who gets my kids?
Yeah,
that king.
Yeah.
But if I make God my king, I think my kids have a pretty good chance. But you know what? I mean, it's still there. At some point, you know what I just told the young people? You're still presented with a what? They still have to make that choice for themselves. But I want to give them the best opportunity to do the right thing, to live for God. God is a good king. He's a good shepherd. However, if I make the things of the world the king of my life, what can I expect from it? The devil is a cruel caregiver. You can only have one king. You can only have one king. So the king's going to take... You can only have one king. The king's going to take your possessions. The king will take your children. What are you going to do with the choice that's yours? How much of my life should I be giving to God? I don't know. That's between you and God. But I think it's interesting, the whole tenth thing that keeps coming up. Okay, just let's say you had a tenth of your time. I don't know that that's, I'm not saying that that's the number, the magic number, but a tenth of your time, almost 17 hours, 168 hours, 17 of it. Would that be fair? Okay, so you got two on Sunday morning, three, a couple Sunday night, a couple Wednesday night. What's Chad Gordon doing with the rest of his time? I don't know. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way I go, and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, and this stone which I've set before a pillar should be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. God's given me so much. Why can't I give God things back? John chapter 15, flip over there, I want to show you this. We're going to close it up here in about 5 minutes. So, young people, if you make the choice, like I told them earlier, hey, they have to come to church, most of them. And you did too growing up, for the most part. I mean, if you grew up in a Christian home, you didn't really have much choice. Some of you didn't. Some of you had to make that choice from very early on. But what about your Bible reading?
Yeah.
What about Chad Gordon's Bible reading?
Sure.
What about Chad Gordon's prayer time?
Amen.
You know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, listen, they made a choice. And what was the repercussions of that choice? What was the first thing that they skipped? Their walk with God. So by making a choice, they also made another choice. Remember, we've got two choices here. Either or. Well, I'm going to indulge myself in sin. So if I choose this, I'm not walking with God. What did they do? They hid themselves in the Garden of Eden. John chapter 15, this is such an encouragement. I talked Sunday morning in Sunday school about the importance of a companion. And I said this, you can choose your friends. You can choose your friends, but you cannot choose how your friends will affect you. And we looked at this verse. We looked at a couple of verses here. John chapter 15, verse number 13. We looked at this. I quoted this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Look at verse 14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't call us a servant. Servants have no choice in the matter. Friends do. Right? I mean, if a slave is a slave, he doesn't really have a choice. But a friend has a choice. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. You know what I'm thankful for? That God chose us. God chose us.
Yes.
I didn't choose God. God chose me. And I'm not talking about predestination here. I'm talking about, hey, God chose to give, for God so loved who? The world. That he gave, he offered a gift. And he said, I've already chosen you to be my friend. Now the choice is up to you. Okay? I've already chosen you to be my friend. You know, you can be friends with somebody that's not a friend to you. You can be a friend to somebody that's not a friend to you. And Jesus did that for us. All right? He chose the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He hath chosen the foolish things of the world. All right? The little things. God chose to look down and see a little Chad, insignificant Chad Gordon, and say, I love him enough, I'm going to send my son, my only begotten son, to die for him. Whether he chooses to accept it or not, I still love him. And I'm going to send my son to die for him. And then he left the choice up to me. Remember, God doesn't force anybody to be saved. No one is. Because if somebody's predestined for heaven, that means somebody's predestined for hell. Okay, God didn't predestine somebody to go to hell. God said, I love that person so much. Here's a gift. Will you accept that gift? He chose the foolish things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7, it talks about, let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. I don't want to try quoting that. I'm not familiar enough with it. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. Why did he choose us? Because he loved us. He chose us because he loved us. What is that? He chose us because he loved us. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know what Jesus rejected when he accepted me? Think, he rejected being with his Father. He said, I'm going to have to leave heaven to come down here to be a man and die on an old rugged cross. He didn't have to do that. He made a choice. He made a choice because why? Because he loved us. He loved us and he gave himself for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Jesus made a choice. God made a choice. He said, I love that person. You know, the awesome thing is it's available to everybody. Yes. It's available. It's available for whosoever. If you're a who, this to you. All right? For whosoever. 1 John chapter 4. This will be the last place we go. 1 John chapter 4, just a few pages over. Look at verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Verse number 19. "We love Him." Why? "Because He first loved us." The story of Hosea in the Bible is an amazing story. He goes and he marries Gomer, I think her name is. And he loves her even though she has pretty much nothing to do with him. And he comes and he treats her wonderful. And then she leaves him and goes back. And God says, "Go and get her." And he goes back and gets her out of her whoredoms. And he loves her. And she just keeps mistreating him. And he loves her and he mistreats. You know how often I've gone away from God, and God still says, "I still love Him. I'm going to go back and get Him again. I still love Chad Gordon, even though he's screwed up and he's messed up and Chad's made the choice to not love me in this situation. I still love him." And you know what? I'm so thankful that God is the God of second and third and hundredth and however many chances. And you know what? I want to reciprocate that. Not that God fails me, but I want to love Him because He first loved me. He made the choice. God didn't have to love me, but He chose to love me. How do I show my love for God? This is in a nutshell. How do I show my love for God? If given two options, because that's what a choice is. If given two options, young person, if given the option to serve God and honor my parents and to make a difference for eternity, or to live for myself and the king of this world, how do I show my love for God? It's all in the choice that you make. I love Him because He first loved me. I want my choices today is simply because the choice that God has already made in my life. What's a practical part, Brother Chad? I don't know. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I had to look real hard at my time. I had to look hard at my finances. Because you go down through this, listen, I don't care how much money I end up with at the end of my life, because I can't take any of it with me. No. But that young man, and that young man, and these young ladies, and those kids out there, if I don't make the right choice today, who am I making my king? Because more than likely, that's who gets them. So I want to live my life in such a way that, okay, I want to give my king what he deserves. My king's been good to me. He's been good to me. Am I giving my king what he deserves? It's kind of a food for thought. Mull it over this week. I'm still mulling it over. Because it still comes back to the power of a choice. The power of a choice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for working in my heart and my life. Lord, so many times, looking back over this past week even, Lord, I've made choices that probably didn't properly reflect a love for you. And it wasn't necessarily a sinful choice per se, but it was a choice that didn't make you king. And Lord, I want to do better at just trying to make you king in every area of my life. Lord, when I come to those crossroad decisions in my life, Father, I pray that I would take a little bit more time to just think about where that road may lead me. And Lord, where that road is going to lead my family. And I may not be able to see right at the moment, but Lord, I pray that I'd be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and I would be wise in the choices that I make. Lord, you've given us an amazing power in this power of choices. And Lord, I pray that you'd help our young people to make the right choices. Help us as parents to make the right choices. Help us to live in tune with you, to be able to show our love and appreciation for you. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.